What up, what up, and welcome back, guys. This is your host, Justin Jarvis, and this is the Jarvis Podcast. Today's episode, we are going to get into my draft pick analysis. We're going to do the first five picks. I will try to chapter these, so if you want to go directly to somebody you're looking for, you should be able to find the chapter. If not, they're about 15 minutes in length, each one. So, I talk about the top five, what I think, it's a good fit for the team, what the team probably looks like going forward, and then I give it a grade on what I think the value of that pick is. So sit back, relax, get ready for episode 6. This is going to be the first five picks in the NFL draft. This is the Jarvis Podcast. And we are back. Okay, so we are going to start off with talking about the number one overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft, and that just so happens to be Bryce Young. Bryce Young was selected first overall by the Carolina Panthers in the past draft. I'm going to go ahead and just give you my analysis on the pick, a little bit about the team and where I think they could be going. So Bryce Young is one of the smallest quarterbacks to come out of the NFL draft at 5'10", 204. The closest measurables for that, which are very close, are going to be Kyler Murray on the Arizona Cardinals. So some of the strengths that I believe that Bryce Young has or shows or demonstrates, calm demeanor on the field. This dude does not get rattled by the situation or any defenses that I could really tell. He played in a pro-style attack offense that required full field reads, right? He didn't have to split the field in half. He looked over the whole field to find the open man, which honestly, it doesn't happen as much as you would think on the football field in college. Shows the ability to dial up focus in big game situations or in big fourth quarter situations. Once again, this guy does not get rattled when the pressure's on. He uses his eyes to manipulate defenders to create easier throws. He'll either locate or avoid lurking trouble in zone coverage to make those throws. He has a compact release as a thrower. I think that's partially due to his size. He's unfazed by the incoming rush and makes ball delivery his priority. I don't know how much of a pass rush he dealt with in Alabama with that offensive line, but definitely dealt with it well when they got through. He had pretty good pocket mobility, moving around in the pocket, stepping up to avoid the incoming rush. Actively reroutes his receivers down field when plays extend. Any of Bryce Young's highlight reels you'll see on YouTube or whatever, anytime that he scrambles from the pocket, always looking downfield to throw the ball, communicating with his receivers, which usually end up being, significant chunks downfield or touchdowns. He makes defenses pay when he breaks contain and improvises. So this is where I will draw a small similarity to him with Patrick Mahomes. This guy in Alabama, it was like, okay, our pass rush didn't get there, but our passing defense is holding up. Our pass rush is closing in. They're not there yet. And then up, as soon as you think you got him, he scrambles outside the pocket. There's nobody left to account for the quarterback. And then he scampers for 10 yards, first down, out of bounds. Like, how many times have we seen Patrick Mahomes do that? Well, if you haven't watched Bryce Young, he's actually pretty good at doing that as well. So some of the weaknesses here, he weighed in at 204. Right, told you the size is a weakness at the NFL Combine. Since 2003, no quarterback who ever weighed fewer than 207 pounds at the Combine has been drafted in the first round. So that is an interesting stat. Durability will be his concern due to his small frame. The linebackers in the NFL are huge. One of the top five guys in this draft that's going to be a linebacker, he was 6'4", 254, right? Much bigger than Bryce Young. He has a tendency to run his receivers up the boundary. So what that means is his passes down the sideline, which are the farthest away from the center of the field where typically he is, may go a little high. Okay, and this is going to be a little counterintuitive here to some of the other things, but he leaves his lower half behind when throwing, when driving the throws downfield. So what that means is he kind of gets like the happy feet and gets up in the air. And if you have watched football or any Patrick Mahomes game, he is a guy that you'll see on highlight reels a lot, where he'll leave his feet and do what they call like a little jump pass. So that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Also, not using your legs to drive the ball downfield, more trying to use the arm. That's why I don't think Bryce Young has the strongest arm in this NFL draft. But anyways, needs to prove that he can find reads quickly and stay on schedule. Once again, that Alabama offensive line probably gave him an unusual amount of excess time in the pocket, but I do think that he can develop into this. Also, he needs to deep throws come out flat and lose energy. Like I said, I don't think he has the best arm in this draft, so deep throws is going to be one of his weaknesses. He also doesn't run often as he could to counter the rush and pick up first downs. I think that's because the man is ultimately trying to make a play with his arm. I do think he has the ability to scamper around, like I said, but he would rather, you know, keep his composure, set his feet, you know, turn his hips and let the ball loose. So those are some of the strengths and weaknesses about him. Now, going into the team overall, they needed a quarterback. So I thought that they had a really good pickup in last year's draft with J.C. Horn. Unfortunately, he was injured a lot and got put on injured reserve last year at the beginning of the year. So some of the signings that they had this offseason, the Panthers were one of the most active people in free agency. They got the tight end Hayden Hurst. They got a few defensive tackles. They got Von Bell at safety, Adam Thielen at receiver, Miles Sanders at running back, and DJ Chark at receiver. So two starting receivers and a starting running back, starting safety. They did pick up Andy Dalton, starting tight end at Hayden Hurst, agreed to terms with Bradley Bozeman, who's a center, after releasing their center. They also signed a couple of unrestricted free agents, nothing of note. But looking at their team here overall on offense-wise, I think offensive weapon-wise, this team is loaded and has nothing but potential success ready and loaded for Young to step into place. Now, I will say that this offensive line, graded by Pro Football Focus, is not the worst one I've ever seen, but his left tackle, which is Akemi Ekwonu, out of North Carolina State, he's kind of weak. He's graded in the upper 60s. His left guard, Brady Christensen from BYU, he's also graded 57.3, which is not good at all. The center that they signed, Bozeman, he's about a 63. Right guard is 69. And then their right tackle is 69 as well. So the right side of that offensive line is definitely better. So maybe they'll shuffle it around a little bit. But protection is going to be key for this guy. I think that the offensive weapons around him can make him successful. With Adam Thielen in the slot, you have Terrence Marshall, who played a little bit last year, and I think I actually like Terrence Marshall a lot coming out of LSU. He was a second round pick. He's graded at about a 67 player grade. But I mean, you have Thielen slot, you have Terrence Marshall out at the wide, and then you have DJ Chark out at the other side, and then you have Hayden Hurst in the middle of the field. Hayden Hurst is, I would say, top seven, top eight tight end. He was a first round selection back in 2018 for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And then you have Booby Miles, or Miles Sanders, who just got picked up. He was graded 71 offensive grade by Pro Football Focus. He was picked up by Carolina from the Eagles, and the Eagles went all the way to the Super Bowl. So I do think that it's not a terrible pick. Okay, I would thought C.J. Stroud was the best quarterback in this draft. I don't feel like the gap is far between these two guys, but also at the end of the day, I'm just going to be real with you real quick. At the end of the day, you know, every one of these quarterback draft classes, we sit here and argue and argue and argue who we think is better than others and just and blah, blah, blah. I like to be a realistic. I don't think there's too much of a gap between these two guys, but, you know, put it in perspective. A handful of years ago, remember when Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were coming out, and we both thought that they were going to be, you know, several-year NFL starters and Pro Bowlers and, like, you know, be the next two generational talents that were going to be in the league for years? Yeah, look at both of them. Are they starting anywhere this year? No. Right, so this could turn out to be something like that, right? Bryce Young could turn out, the size could be an issue, right? There's been a lot of quarterbacks that have came out that were smaller, and it just doesn't work out. But then you have ones like Drew Brees, Kyler Murray, that were shorter, right? Not the prototypical size, and they made it work. Both of them have gotten paid. One of them is in the Hall of Fame, or will be. I can't remember if Drew Brees got there yet, but he also took down, like, every major passing stat record before he left. So I like the pick. It's not what I would have done. I also don't think it's the most terrible pick. But Bryce Young, number one overall to the Carolina Panthers. With this offense, I think if they can just solidify that offensive line, I don't see why they can't contend for an NFC South title. You know, at least much better record than they were last year. I would say, you know, to give it a grade, I'll give it a B+. So that's my take on Bryce Young. Let me know what you guys think. You know, I definitely think that, it's not the worst pick in the world. But, you know, let me know what you guys think. All right, and we're back. So the next up is we are going to talk about the Houston Texans pick at 2, and I think I'm going to bundle it with pick 3 because they did trade right back up and get the 3rd overall pick in the 2023 draft. So the first pick that they had was C.J. Stroud. I had C.J. Stroud as my number one quarterback in the draft. His measurables are 6'3", 214. So I think he has pretty close to prototypical size at quarterback. So he does not have that as a fault Bryce Young here. Some of my strength and weaknesses real quick. Doesn't hesitate to attack with his throws. Not at all. Has the arm strength to air it out. the deep ball towards the sidelines with accuracy. So you remember how we talked about Bryce Young, how his sideline balls were running people up the sidelines? Not this guy. This dude can throw anywhere on the field. Played the game of his career against Georgia in the college football playoffs. I mean, he dang near won the game for him. I mean, Ohio State looked the best that they ever have of lately in the college football playoff with this guy. So that made me really feel good about my analysis of C.J. Stroud to go up against, you know, Georgia, who's had the best defense in the past 2 years, one of the best defenses of all time. So showed the willingness to extend and make plays outside the pocket against Georgia. You know, he didn't do that a whole lot. He didn't have to do it a whole lot. Offensive line in Ohio State is kind of like Alabama. I also don't think they face the same magnitude of pass rush in his conference. But either way, he finds a way back to his platform, throws when forced to move his feet. So he sets his feet before he throws, for lack of better words. Tape shows his ability to get through his progressions. Yes, this is a definite one. You have to know what you're looking at when you watch tape to see this, but you can literally see his head move from left to right, right to left, center to out to center, and he'll look at a guy, nope, won't be open, nope, this guy's covered, all right, that guy's making his break, he's the third read, and he'll be open over there, boom, hit his guys right in stride. The most naturally accurate top-tier quarterback in the 2023 draft. Where he puts the ball on his throws, and I understand Ohio State's got a lot of NFL caliber receivers, and you know, the window that he throws these balls into are huge, right? Like, most of the time. Now there's some tight coverage here and there, but it's also where he places the ball. This guy puts the ball right where the receiver can catch it each and every time. It's not out in front. It's not down low. It's not over their head or anything like that. Puts it on the frame, allowing receivers to catch in stride and keep rolling is literally my next strength for him. Showed maturity as a game manager at times during the 2022 season, which was the season before. He is a two-year starter at Ohio State, so I think that helps his development a lot. So let's go into weaknesses. Weaknesses here, hesitant to use his legs can put a cap on his success rate. He doesn't like to run a lot. He doesn't have the fastest 40 or anything like that, but I do think that he could have the escapability that he needs to be mobile in the pocket. Labors to get squared to target when rolling out. I think that has to do a lot with his size a little bit. He's got to get a little bit more flexibility in his hips, but either or. Needs a clear scan for potential pressure points near the line of scrimmage. So I think that's because they do a lot of shotgun style offense over at Ohio State and not necessarily a lot of under center. So just clean that up with a pro style offense and get him used to taking snaps under center. Needs to play with better recognition and respect for safeties. You know, those safeties would be lurking in the NFL and they are 10 times faster than they are in college. So definitely think that's a weakness. And inconsistent activating lower body torque on drive throws. So throws down the center of the field, deep downfield, stuff like that. Like I said, I think he needs to get a little bit more flexibility in those hips, and that's where this activating lower body torque can come from. So real quick, going into some of the off-season acquisitions and see where this team kind of stacks up. So, you know, they did a bunch of signing of, like, no-name free agents and stuff like that. The first big one that I have here is they signed free agent Robert Wood. So they added a veteran receiver on the outside to give him somebody to throw to. Then also here, we signed a couple defensive linemen. And then the next one is probably going to be defensive back Jimmy Ward. So give him a cornerback to help on defense so that he's not on the field constantly. Also help get that defense off the field. Now, unfortunately, they did trade Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, we're able to get a little draft compensation back in return. So it's not the biggest loss there. I also think that Brandon Cooks is way past his prime, so get what you can for him, move on. They signed an offensive lineman, Shaq Mason, via trade from the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think that was a good move. You know, one of the things you have to do with these young quarterbacks is you have to shore up the offensive line. If you don't have the blindside blocker, which would be your left tackle for most of them, right-handed quarterbacks, you have to go and invest in that as soon as possible. Now, one thing that they do have in Houston is they have a left tackle. They traded for it with the whole Deshaun Watson stuff back when they got Laremy Tunsil from the Miami Dolphins. So Laremy Tunsil is definitely a NFL starting caliber offensive left tackle. So at least they have that there to pair with Shaq Mason, I think will do good. Also, another really sneaky good signing that they had was picking up the tight end from Dallas, Dalton Schultz. I think one of the best things that you can do for a quarterback success and development is get them their safety net, right? It's like a little kid with a binky or a blankie or something like that. You got to get them their safety net, right? When all else breaks down, I got my tight end who's not far away and I can dump it off to him. Or, you know, it could be a running back or something like that. But typically, if you can pair a quarterback with a solid tight end, you know, someone like a back in the day, like a Jason Witten, right? Like that dude was the epitome of a safety net. Like he was always there no matter what. He could catch the tough throws in the middle, get bounced around. I've seen the dude lose a helmet during the play and keep running, right? Like the having a safety net at tight end is crucial for these young quarterbacks. They also signed a linebacker, Denzel Perryman. You know, it is what it is there. But moving on to the offense. So this is a little different than the Carolina Panthers. Panthers traded up to that number one pick. They actually were not the worst team in the NFL. The worst overall team graded by Pro Football Focus was actually the Houston Texans at 32 overall for the team overall grade. They went 3-13-1. Just horrible offense, horrible defense. I mean, just not good. They do have Case Keenum on the roster along with Davis Mills, the two quarterbacks that they had last year as backups for C.J. Stroud. So, like, he doesn't have to start right away, but I understand, like, if that's what they want to do. Now here at receiver, we have Amari Rodgers, who was on the Packers, an underdeveloped slot receiver. We have Robert Woods, which is kind of an older outside receiver. John Metchie, though, the third, I think was a great pick by them. And he just got over, I believe he was battling leukemia. And that's why he was out for a long time. And I think he's cleared to play. So I think that he definitely could have a breakout season. Nico Collins a little bit. Maybe he's going to be farther down the depth chart. Devin Singletary, they picked up this year, free agency. Damian Pierce came out as a solid running back last year for Houston Texans. So I definitely think that, you know, having him, he could be the safety net too, right? Now you're pairing, you've got a tackle, you've got a tight end, you've got a bruiser at running back. That dude had a great year. Believe me, I played up against him in fantasy. One of my boys had him. So I mean, it's not looking bad, and they still have Brevin Jordans, who was the tight end there before Dalton Schultz got to town. So I think that this isn't the worst team, and they have a great new head coach GM in D'Amico Ryans, who used to play for this team. So I think that you know, is it as good of outlook as the Carolina Panthers? No, I think that you know, the offensive line here in Houston is going to be significantly far worse. I'm looking at some of the Pro Football Focus player grades for them right now. Their left guard is player graded at like 37. Right tackle is 67, not terrible. Shaq Mason, which I think was pretty good, like I said, he is 68. They have a rookie at center, so who knows what they have there. But left tackle shirt up at a 80 player grade for Laremy Tunsil. So I do think that it's not the worst team. Okay, maybe it will. Maybe it will be the worst team in the NFL. I'm not sure. I don't think it was a bad move. I think it was good. So if I had to go ahead and rate this pick, I would rate this pick for need. I'm going to go ahead and say that this pick was probably going to be, I'll give it a B, a solid B, not a B plus, not a B minus. I'll give it a B overall for CJ Stroud, number 2 to the Houston Texans. Let me know what you guys think about that. This is the Jarvis Podcast. All right, and now moving into the third pick of the first round in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans traded right back up after pick 2 and traded to pick 3 with the Arizona Cardinals and selected who I think is probably the best overall linebacker slash edge. I guess he's classified more as an edge rusher in this draft. Will Anderson from Alabama. His measurables are 6'3", 253. Out of Alabama, this dude was a nightmare. I remember when they drafted, or sorry, not drafted, when I seen him play on Alabama. From the moment that he started, you could tell that this dude had something special. He has dominated the college football game at his position. Like I said, he's probably my number one overall player in this draft. So some of the strengths that I have him, he has proportional build and excellent arm length, which is great for pass rushing. Get off juice to attack the corner. Probably the best bend at edge rusher out of all other edge rushers in this draft. Goodie bag filled with tactics and approaches to threaten the edge. All of these strengths are going to sound really good for him because he honestly is just that good. He couples hands and hip flip to flatten the edge into the pocket. I mean, many times I've seen him run around left tackles and put them flat on his back, or their back, sorry. Athleticism and closing bursts to hunt down quarterbacks when play extends. So this dude definitely has the ability to take off after the quarterback, even outside the pocket. His speed is around a 4.6. In the combine, so definitely can catch some of those quarterbacks, most of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Fires first hands and anchors down to set a firm edge. There's not really a whole lot of getting around the outside of this guy. he's just the typical edge rusher, premier edge rusher that would have came out of, you know, LSU, Georgia, Clemson. I'm sure all of those guys were offering him scholarships, and he could have been a great player of any of those or programs. He has a wide base and torque power allow him for block discards, so basically throwing tackles to the side. Pursuit speed to catch the runner from the backside. Definitely, he can chase down a running back that is running away from him. That's how quick this dude is. Good lateral fluidity and body control for efficient change of direction. I would say that he's the closest thing to the Bosas coming out at edge rusher, and both of those guys were premier elite talents. I would project him to probably fight for Defensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL this upcoming season, and I'm willing to bet that he would get, you know, barring any setbacks, any injuries, he'll probably get a couple of Defensive Player of the Years, maybe even a few MVPs. Yeah, that's how far I'm willing to go with them and how high I feel about them. Now, weaknesses, right? Everybody has weaknesses, so here we go. Motor needs to stay turned up throughout the whole rep. I think if the play gets a little too far away from him, he will slow down, and with the speed and talent that he has, which I get it. I mean, he goes and goes and goes, but there are times, and we're going to get nitpicky here because this dude is really good, that he might need to keep it at full throttle. Forced into extended confrontations against linemen at the point of attack. So maybe he doesn't win all the hand battles that you wish he could, but neither here nor there. Hip tightness limits stride length as a rusher. Somewhat. I think he does have some of the best hips here, but, I mean, we're also not expecting him to run a 4-3 here at defensive end. Needs to develop hand counters to defeat well-timed punches. So, like I was talking about just a minute ago, maybe not the best at hand fighting with the bigger left tackles. Energy as a run defender appears to wane at times. Like I said, I mentioned that a minute ago. He kind of maybe isn't going 100% all the time when the play starts to move away from him. So Tennessee's right tackle that got drafted in the first round, Darnell Wright's length and power gave him issues. So big, strong, wide tight end, or sorry, not tight ends, right tackles or left tackles will probably give him some fits. But I think with his massive amount of talent and potential, I think he'll get that. He'll get that development. You know, kind of dial it in. And once again, he's going to D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's was a great linebacker himself, more of a middle, and then maybe later in his career towards pass rushing. But I mean, the dude knows the game. He was a student of the game, so I think he's in a great place to develop. And I mean, let's look at, you know, the Houston Texans have produced J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, you know, Jadeveon Clowney was there. I know Clowney didn't live up to the hype, but I mean, he still was serviceable and pretty good at times. So I think he lands in a good spot, and obviously a huge need at edge rusher, defensive end, something like that for the Houston Texans. So I think it's a phenomenal pick, a phenomenal, you know, organization for him to go to. So the fit here is just good. So some of the defensive players that he will be around on this defense with, we have Steven Nelson. He's older. His pro football focus grade isn't that great at 66 at corner. We have a second-year player at Jalen Petrie at safety from Baylor. His Pro Football Focus is not that good, but this is what happens when you have, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. They did trade for Jimmy Ward, like I said before. Jimmy Ward is a little older, but his Pro Football Focus grade is above an 80, so he is still producing. So that's why they went and got him. Their linebacking core is a little suspect. We have Christian Kirksey, who definitely is older. He's starting to show his age. We have Denzel Perryman, older, not that bad at middle linebacker. His Pro Football Focus grade is 74, just a tick over that. Corey Littleton is one of their outside linebackers. He's actually got a Pro Football player grade of 72, just a little bit over 72. So not bad there. And then they had Devin Singletary, who was their first-round pick last year. I like Stingley, not Singletary. Jeez, Derek Stingley. He's got the size, weight, speed, the length and the range to be a good outside shutdown corner, I believe. I just think that when you're on a bad defense that gets taken advantage of through the pass a lot, and you're on the field a lot, and you get tired a lot and really fast, I feel like corner is really hard to kind of get a good idea of where you are developmentally. So I still think that Derek Stingley is still got very good potential as they continue to build this defense. At D-line, we have who do we have here? We have Jerry Hodges. He is been in the league for a very long time. He got drafted in 2010. Still putting up a decent grade, though, of a just almost 71.5 from Pro Football Focus. Then we have Malik Collins. He got drafted in 2016. He's in the 60s for his player grade. Then we have Sheldon Rankins. He's just a little bit over 73 in his player grade, drafted in 2016. And then you have Will Anderson on the corner there. So I think that if they continue to put the pieces around them, and I think they took a huge gamble, but I honestly don't think it was a bad idea. They saw what they thought were the two biggest needs on their team and the two best players on their draft board, and they just said, screw it. We're going to trade away all these extra picks and stuff that we have and go and get who we like and who we think can help us change the organization. You know, remind you, this organization has been in disarray since the whole Deshaun Watson, you know, incident and saga. So I really do think that bringing in D'Amico Ryans and the change in organization and stuff like that, like they're really trying to turn the corner and make this Houston Texans team a contender again. I mean, it's not long ago that they were in the playoffs, right? I believe it was 2020. So not too far outside of that. I think if they continue to trend upward with this pick at number three with Will Anderson Jr., pair that with C.J. Stroud, like we just talked about, I think the sky's the limit. They just got to keep the same trajectory, right? So I would give this pick right here, I'm going to give an A. I'm going to give it an A because it is a position of need. This defense needs somebody like that. I think that Will Anderson is going to be a game changer. I think he's going to be an elite player in the NFL. I think he will have most of the accolades that you want a top three defensive player to have throughout his career, like Defensive Rookie of the Year. Go ahead, bet on it. Say you got it from the Jarvis podcast right here first when you win that bet later on in the year. But yeah, I really, really do love the pick. I love what they did here with pick two and pick three. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it an A. All right, and we are back. So we are going to talk about pick number four. Pick number four is the Indianapolis Colts. So the Indianapolis Colts, actually, I think what happened for them in the draft happened exactly what they wish would have happened. They sat right where they were. They didn't have to move up. And the guy that they ultimately wanted to draft fell to them. Or, I mean, I don't know if you can call it a fall, but they were able to select the guy that they wanted. This, mind you, was an Indianapolis Colts team that was horrible. Okay? I believe there is still a lot of talent on this Indianapolis Colts team. I think that if you find the coach, which they have a brand new coach. He was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, which will play into this. And then I also think that if you get the right quarterback to pair with that, this team could go right back to the playoffs. Their overall team grade was 27th, right? So it was a bad team. They went 4-12-1. So I think that's not necessarily actually who they are. I mean, they had an old looking Matt Ryan. That dude literally fell off a cliff. But other than that, you know, I still think there's a lot of talent on this team. Okay, so with the pick, so with the number four pick in the NFL draft 2020, the Indianapolis Colts selected Anthony Richardson out of Florida. Anthony Richardson stands 6'4", 244 pounds. So Anthony Richardson, this dude had a combine to remember. Like, I put here in my notes that this dude was just a combine warrior. He literally had the number one 40 time for quarterbacks. He had the highest high jump. And, you know, his broad jump was insane at quarterback. I believe it was number one overall as well. You know, and just all of his measurables were the best when it comes to athletic ability in this draft. So, some of my notes about him, like I said, combine warrior, absolutely excelled at that. He has elite size, strength, and athletic ability for the quarterback position. I like to think of Anthony Richardson as body type wise, probably a Lamar Jackson, but thicker than Lamar Jackson. I don't know how much Lamar Jackson weighs, but his body type reminds me a lot of him. Okay. He has potential to perform in variety of offensive schemes. He can make explosive plays as a passer and a runner. His arm strength to throw downfield and into tight windows is A+. Functional pass accuracy when mechanically sound and in rhythm. Okay, so we'll get to why that's important here in the weaknesses. But when it's on time passing, he's accurate. Okay. Now, what is key to take into consideration here is Florida, I believe, does run a pro-style offense, so that is good for his, you know, development, and he'll already be familiar with how the pros run offense. He is willing to take a hit and still deliver the throw. I believe that is because look at his size, right? Someone like Bryce Young might want to slip a tackle and then make the throw and hope that he can evade the pass rush coming down the barrel. Seen that happen with Drew Brees a lot, right? Drew Brees would slip slide to the left or right, and that tackler would go right by him, and then he'd drop a bomb for 50, yard touchdown to Michael Thomas or something. So I think he, with his size and his weight and stuff, he's not afraid to take the hit and deliver the throw. But also, he's got a cannon for an arm. So, I mean, even if he gets hit, he could still probably deliver the throw to where it needs to be. Good awareness of pressure mounting around him. So, pocket presence. He can feel when the rush is coming. He's got good footwork to slide and throw or scramble for yards. Had a touchdown to interception ratio of 12 to 2. So 12 touchdowns to 2 interceptions over his final 6 games at Florida. So was that a potential sign of him trending in the right direction in his development, heading up? Who knows? We'll see. Also ran for touchdowns of 45, 60, 73 yards, 80, and 81 yards over the past 2 seasons at Florida. So we can get it done with his legs. We all understand that. You turn on his highlight tape, and it's ton of deep down the football throws, and running the ball. Which, once again, who does that remind you of in the NFL? For me, that's Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying this guy's Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying he's going to be an MVP candidate, you know, or an MVP winner or anything like that. I'm just saying physically, this guy sounds like a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen, right? Maybe that's a better representation. Size and weight would be more of a Josh Allen, because Josh Allen is thicker than Lamar. So anyways, now weaknesses. Inconsistency and inaccuracy made it hard for him to have sustained success, right? I've got plenty of friends that are Florida fans. Probably some of y'all are listening to this right now. And it made it, while he was the quarterback there, it did make it hard for them to watch the Florida Gators, because they were not winning on a consistent basis, because this guy did turn the ball over and make poor decisions. Could use a better feel for the timing of his progressions. Once again, I think that leads to the inaccuracy, the inconsistency. I said one of his strengths is when he's mechanically sound and he's accurate when the ball comes out in time, right? There is a certain time that passes are supposed to be thrown and completed in a normal style offense, right? You got your short routes, you got your intermediates, you got your long routes, and all of them develop during the course of a play on different times. And if you don't understand the progression and the timing of those, then, well, that's where you throw interceptions and, you know, you look like you have inconsistency and inaccuracy. Needs to take some spice off the short throws. So, I mean, the dude can throw a rocket, you know, 80 yards downfield at 80 miles an hour, right? But sometimes you need to throw the 10-yard ball at 20 miles an hour, right? And it's gotta fit a keyhole. So sometimes he throws a little too hard, bounces off a receiver's hands. It could be a receiver's fault. I understand that. But you got to know how to throw some touch on the ball. So below average touch and ball placement rolling out. Boom. I just hit my next point without even realizing it. But this is talking about rolling out. So when he gets a little happy feet and he gets that extra kinetic energy in his body moving, right? Because like, I could throw the ball farther on the run and going towards the line of scrimmage than I could just standing there playing it on my feet when I played quarterback. So I think maybe he needs to just work on that and take that into consideration. All right, and then the last two here. Hasn't learned how to manipulate coverage with his eyes. So this is like the complete opposite of Bryce Young. The Bryce Young had full field reads, could manipulate defenders, basically make a move all over the field so that he can make his receivers open and make timely throws in rhythm and with big open holes for, you know, zone coverage, man coverage, stuff like that. So which I think Anthony Richardson is struggling with. And I think if he can learn how to do that and manipulate a coverage, then the sky will be the limit for this guy. struggles to paint intermediate zone holes with anticipatory throws. So once again, it all comes back to the inaccuracy of Anthony Richardson. So I think if he can hone in the inaccuracy, I think that he could be a phenomenal talent. I mean, you just think about the athletic intangibles that this man has. They're off the charts. So going on to the team that he got drafted to, the only real significant signing I really see here is in the offseason, they traded Stephon Gilmore to the Dallas Cowboys. So they really haven't gotten anybody. But looking at this offense, okay, looking at this offense, we have Alec Pierce at receiver. He's more, he's 6'3", 211. Nah, I don't really know. Isaiah McKinney from Buffalo, he's going to be your slot guy. Then you have one of the best running backs in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he had a down year. I get it. But Jonathan Taylor is a dude. Like, that. There you go. There's your safety net at running back, because Jonathan Taylor can run the ball and catch the ball. I'm really high on Michael Pittman Jr. He got drafted in 2020. He's 6'4", 220. His PFF grade is above 70. He's the son of the former player, Michael Pittman. This is Michael Pittman Jr. I really think that he can blossom into a legitimate number one receiver. Maybe not top tier, but I think he can definitely be a legitimate number one receiver, and they have him outside. At tight end, they have Mo Alie-Cox. This dude is a basketball player, and he kind of plays like one at tight end. He's 6'5", 260. He goes up and high points the ball. His PFF grade is not good, but I think he plays better than that. Now, the offensive line, though, I think is going to be a huge factor into why this guy could be successful. Their offensive line has been really good for years, and they still have Quinnen Nelson, who is the best guard in the game, big old hog molly, mean Irishman himself. They have Ryan Kelly, one of the best centers in the game as well. They have Will Fries at right guard. And then they have Braden Smith. All of those guys are in the 60s, and I think three of them are in the upper to mid-high 70s in the pro football focus grades. So I do think that he's going to a place that has potential for him to develop and blossom. I do think that the head coach has a huge factor in this, because the head coach just came off of a few years with a quarterback that plays just like Anthony Richardson. He's not as tall, but plays just like him. Mobile quarterback who needs to work on accuracy, which Jalen Hurts did under this new head coach that is now the head coach in Indianapolis. So I do think that this is a very, very interesting pick here with Anthony Richardson going to the Indianapolis Colts. And I would have to give this, if I'm going to give it an accurate grade, I would probably give this, I'm going to give this a B+ pick. So B+ for Anthony Richardson, number 4, and we'll see how he works out. I'm very interested to see what happens with him. And we are back. So we're moving on to pick 5 in the 2023 NFL draft. And pick 5 caught me a little bit by surprise. It was Devon Witherspoon, who is a corner out of Illinois. So real quick, measurables. 5'11", 181. I honestly did not think that he was going to be the number one corner off the board. I thought Christian Gonzalez was going to be the number one off the board, which obviously didn't happen. But this guy does have some really good traits. Does have some really good traits here for strengths and weaknesses. So I understand. So I think that he is a strong physical corner who doesn't mind playing zone or man coverage. I think he likes to get down and dirty and in the nitty-gritty and is not afraid to come up and hit you. So I think that, like, maybe what happened here was that, obviously, you have to understand who Pete Carroll is, their head coach. But I think he's a Pete Carroll guy. Like, Pete Carroll just looks at those certain types of defensive players. Like, we look back at the Legion of Boom, right? All of those DBs that were on that team, you know, they played physical, they played aggressive, they took chances, you know, got a lot of penalties. But I think that I think Witherspoon is just a Pete Carroll guy. He's a man corner that can play the run, which Pete Carroll loves. I don't know if I like the size at 5'11". I mean, he's not the smallest corner out there. I think he does play longer than what his height entails. But let's go ahead and break down some of his strengths and weaknesses here. So, allowed a completion percentage rate of just 34.9% in 2022. So that is absolutely insane. Impressive route recognition and trigger on the throw. So he knows how to jump a route, essentially. Eyes are probing from off coverages. Well-balanced defending high and low route concepts from zone. So like I told you, this guy can play man or zone. Instinctive with 14 pass breakups in 2022. That is a lot of pass breakups if you think about how many per year, you know, people in the NFL get. Pass breakups, honestly, are one of those stats that you would think be much higher, but it's typically not it's not that high. So, next one, he takes ball side angles to disrupt the catch point. So, all this is talking about is being a ball hawk here. Zeroes in on receivers' hands on deep throws. So, you know, think about a ball that is being thrown deep that's coming up over the shoulder of the receiver or something like that, and he is trying to catch up. Essentially, what he's going to do is he's going to go through the hands of the receiver, whether he has the ball or not, and knock it away. So that's what they're talking about there. Physical with a striker's mentality in run support and as a tackler versus the pass. This dude will smack you in the face. The very first highlight that I seen of him was him hitting a running back, and oh my God, it reminded me of the Sheldon Brown, the Philly tackle, a corner that tackled Reggie Bush that was on a little flats route when he played for the Saints from Drew Brees. Oh, it knocked off Reggie Bush's helmet and everything. I thought that he was decapitated, but that's neither here nor there. But this guy can do the same exact thing. He will put his head down and hit somebody. Weaknesses. He can jab step off balance by release fakes. So what this means is if a receiver will jab step fake inside and then go outside, he will bite on it. He's aggressive. So essentially imagine any Davante Adams route, right? Because Davante typically will start off with a good jab step release. He's going to bite on it. Coverage is very handsy after the first 5 yards. So he is more susceptible to getting called for illegal touching or a holding or pass interference call. Sluggish to transition hips and match route breaks from his back pedal. So backpedaling is not his strongest suit, and you can get him on a hip turn. So if you're a fast receiver, blowing by him may be the best option for you. Once again, Legion of Boom days, those cornerbacks were not super fast. They had great tight end help over the top. That's why they could play so aggressive. Top end speed could be an issue at the next level. We were just talking about that. Lack of juice to make up the distance when he gets behind, same thing. And will bite hard on play actions and double moves. So this is what happens when you're an aggressive corner. All of these weaknesses are things that happen to aggressive corners. Now, you live and die by being aggressive, though. You either turn out to be a Hall of Fame or All-Pro caliber cornerback, or you get burned so many times that you get released off of every team that you're on. Maybe not that extreme, but I feel like this is what happens when you're an aggressive corner. So we'll go into the team real quick. Any significant signings for Seattle? Not really. I mean, they picked Bobby Wagner back up again. I feel like that was a little bit more of like a, hey, Bobby, come home and retire with us. I know he does plan on playing, but they did re-sign Geno Smith. That's more of a front-loaded contract where he's getting paid this year and not so much the last few years of his contract. So we'll see what they do with that, because at quarterback, I don't think they have anybody moving forward. Now, this is one of those teams where they are much better than where their draft position shows. They are much better than their draft position, okay? This team was 9-8. They were the 12th overall team graded by Pro Football Focus. So they were a very good team. This was a draft pick that they had due to a trade. So this wasn't their original draft pick, but it worked out for them. So since we're talking about defense here, we're going to go ahead and break down the team that he would be playing with. So Witherspoon is going to be QB2. Because they actually had a really, really good pick last year in the 5th round with Tariq Woolen, who he is a 6'4", 205 corner out of UTSA. This dude, I think it definitely was one of the steals of the draft last year. And if it wasn't for Trayvon Diggs having an interception every week for like the first 9 weeks in the NFL season, I think that this dude would have been talked about a whole lot more than essentially what he was, because I'm sure this is probably the first time that you guys are hearing this guy's name. But Tariq Woolen is QB1. Witherspoon will be out there at QB2 most likely. Then we have at slot corner, we have Kobe Bryant. Yep, Kobe Bryant. He was a 4th round selection last year. His Pro Football Focus grade is 55. It's not that great. Like I said, you have Bobby Wagner, who's going to be out there still. His Pro Football Focus is well above 90. Trying to see here. On the defensive line, we've got nobody that is too big of a name. We got Jaron Reed, who used to be on the Packers. Still not a very good Pro Football Focus grade. And then we have, so their best safety is going to be Quandre Diggs. And he's going to be one of their safeties from Texas. He's 5'9", 200, drafted in 2015. His Pro Football Focus grade is above a 70. And then one of the top safeties in the league, the guy that they traded for from the Jets, Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is a freak of nature. We won't go into him too much, but this guy can play just about anywhere on the field. His Pro Football Focus grade is an 87. So you can tell their top two guys were a 90 and an 87. So if that gives you any idea of great to good to bad, But I think he can play well into this defense, and I think Pete Carroll is building another little Legion of Boom defense here. Because, I mean, besides Witherspoon, who's the shortest, I mean, we've got tall guys all around in the secondary. This team will go as far as Geno goes. Okay, I mean, and at the end of the day, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, they have good receivers. I believe they did pick up another receiver in this year's draft, a very good one. But we'll not talk about him right now. But this defense is definitely they've got to find somebody on the defensive line. I don't know if any of these guys that they have on the roster right now will develop into that. But they definitely need to get some defensive line help, and because their secondary is coming along good. But if you have no pass rush, those secondary, you know, safeties and corners can only run around for so long, and eventually somebody's going to get open. So I do think that this Devin Witherspoon pick was a good pick. Like I said, I don't think I would have done it. I thought Christian Gonzalez was my number one corner coming in the draft this year. But I do think that he'll become a good starter within 2 years. So that's my take on Devin Witherspoon going to Seattle.